Good evening, everyone. Well, thank you so much for coming in this winter night, and not yet, but you know, I'm so thrilled to see so many of you. This is Route 44 Corridor Study in Canton, and this is our first public meeting. The study, I am Pramod Pandey from CROG. I'm managing the study from CROG side, and we have Marlon Pena from Connecticut DOT, and he's managing from DOT side. And before I hand it over to the team doing the study, I'm going to quickly introduce what is this study about and what are we doing. So the study started about 6 months ago. You probably have seen on the website that we were investigating the portion of Route 44 in Canton from Simsbury Town Line, a little bit up past Dowd Avenue, and then portion of Dowd Avenue. Looking into safety, first and foremost, with every other mode of transportation, bicycle, motorist, and making it a better, safe road for all users. And you've seen some, you know, crisis history in the area, some congestion, and we're trying to see, investigate what's happening and what we can recommend to make it better for next, you know, 15, 20, 30 years, when you probably have more housing. You're seeing that happening in the town or other types of development. And today, the study team has completed the existing conditions investigation, and they have submitted to me a draft report. I'm reviewing it. After we complete reviewing, I will hand it over to the Technical Advisory Committee for one quick review and feedback, and then we'll publish on the website so you can see. The study phase right now, it's in the beginning. We just completed existing conditions. We're looking into the future and then the alternatives for the corridor. So I just quickly introduce Neil is here from the town and Marlon Pena from the DOT, and then I'm going to hand it over to the consulting team, and they can introduce the team and then go through the presentation, and after that we'll go through question answers, discussions, issues, anything that you want to discuss. We have a hard deadline of 7:30. We have another meeting coming after that, so let's try to finish in time. And you can always contact me or the team after this meeting. Thank you. Joe?
Thanks, Ramon. Good evening. I'm going to stand over here with that column in a way. My name is Joe Walskis with VHB. Dan Amstutz with VHB. Andre Singer in the back from VHB as well. We're a consultant team with Bridget from VN, our public engagement. So we are on a tight schedule, if you will. We know 7:30 is the Traffic and Pedestrian Safety Advisory Committee, and they advise the Canton Board of Selectmen on traffic and transportation needs, so we want to be done by 7:30. The purpose of the committee is to make recommendations to improve the safety and effectiveness of all modes of travel in Canton, including roadways, bikeways, and walkways. Perfect time to have this meeting, because we're gonna talk about existing conditions for Route 44 corridor. So we're going to go 6 o'clock. We're running a couple minutes late, so we're going to speed things up a little bit. We're going to walk through the project, the meeting format, the overview, and talk about existing conditions. All right? We have nothing conceived yet in terms of recommendations yet. We're just at existing conditions, hear the feedback, and then move forward to the future. We're planning 6:40 to start question and answer. So if you want to speak, we were hoping you could sign up on the sign-up sheet to speak so we know how many people are going to speak. And then we're trying to do like 3 minutes each for each person to sign up. And the reason for that is then at 7 o'clock, we want to go to the maps at the back of the room and talk to the maps and give us your concern. If we want to just keep going with Q&A, we can do that as well. Our idea was that we'd stop at 7 o'clock, go to the maps, and hear any feedback, specifically on address, locations, and concerns to the maps. But it's really your meeting. This is public engagement. So if you feel like that's not going to work, we'll keep going with question and answer. But we're hoping we can have a sign-up sheet for speaking, so we can at least kind of manage the speakers. And at 7:30, we clear out, and the advisory committee takes over for their meeting. Okay, does that work? Okay. All right. There we go, back here. So, we also have the meeting, we have in person here tonight. We also have it online. And we're Zoom, right? Zoom? So we're Zoom, we have a Zoom chat going. So when it's Q&A from the audience, you go to the podium, and the microphone will pick you up. We're also gonna go online. a question online as well. And we're trying here, we're here to listen. We can't necessarily answer all your questions. We're here to listen what the concerns are you have for existing conditions. Some question you might be able to answer, but beyond that, we'll take the questions. There's also a comment form you can fill out as well. You can go online as well. Our intent is to take all your comments and your feedback to understand, because we don't live here. We've been here many times. We've driven many times, but we know that you know better than we do, so we want to listen to that. Okay. A little bit of history real quick. I think we all know the history of Route 44. We've gone back to some research. I've been driving through Canton for, I guess, 40 years now. Know it very well. Like this all started back in 2000. And many may have been around for that. There was an original plan like this done in 2000, 23 years ago, through Prague, look at the corridor, had some ideas of making improvements to Route 44, and not all those were done. So here we are 23 years later doing a new study and looking at possibly in the future of doing improvements on there. We know the volumes, traffic volumes, on 44. We know that they were the peak from our data collection, the peak volumes were back in 2008, the Great Recession. They peaked at 31,000 vehicles per day on 44. Now it's 26,000. So we lost about 5,000 vehicles per day on 44, mostly due to the pandemic, but there was a trend before the pandemic of declining traffic volume on 44. And it obviously dropped off with the pandemic, a lot of work from home happening as well. The other part of this is that 44 is a national highway system highway. That's a big deal. It's a U.S. highway. It's not an interstate, but it's like one step below that, being a U.S. National highway system highway. Study limits, promote talking to study limits themselves, what they were. We go from the Simsbury town line here. You can see that. You can see on the screens as well. To the east, and then past Dowd Avenue, Canton Village Shopping Center, to the west. That was study area set by the town and by Prague. Okay? So we're working with that study area in terms of the project itself. Real quick overview, we know it's high volume, we know it's high speed arterial, we've driven on it, you obviously know it better than we do. It connects to Hartford, obviously it points west, that we know. It's seen some significant development in recent years, okay? Especially the eastern part of Route 44. And we know it's dominated by automobile traffic. So, the corridor study goals. This is what's developed as part of the study itself with the town, with CROG, with the advisory committee. And I'm not going to read them in detail, but basically it's to review the existing conditions of the corridor and develop recommendations, if needed, for the future. Similar to the last plan, look at deficiencies. Are there problems? Are there crashes? Hear about crashes tonight. Is there congestion? Hear about that in a minute. Can we address those? Do we need to address those? Is that part of our future plan? Process. We have several steps here. Right now, we're in the existing conditions. Right now, we're at this point. We've done our data collection. We've done our safety assessment. And we're basically at existing conditions. So we're presenting that to you tonight. And from there, we take those comments, like I said before, we look at what are the deficiencies? What's needed to be done there? Is this worthwhile? And then we come back to you with those recommendations in the spring. Nice picture right there, a nice rainy day. Obviously, back to traffic. That was my picture, actually. Quick observations. We've seen higher speeds versus posted speeds. Not a surprise. We've seen that. We know we have queues that are happening. All right, I'll talk about that in a little more detail. Obviously, Dowd Avenue is a major intersection. We also have Lawton Road, Route 77, Welby Street is a problem intersection. We'll talk about that in a minute. Traffic counts. I talked about that already a little bit. 26,000 vehicles per day. What does that mean, 26,000 vehicles a day, everyone? What does that mean? When you look at Interstate 84, carrying 150,000, 180,000 vehicles a day. So we're not that level. We're four-lane arterial, but we're carrying a lot of traffic. And that usually turns out to be about, you look at this kind of traffic level, usually your peak hours are 8 to 10% of your daily. So we're looking at 2,000 vehicles in the peak hour, both directions now. I'm not talking one, but both directions. So 26,000 vehicles a day is both directions. So what do we do as traffic engineers and planners? What do? We look at the data, all right? Data-intensive effort, the crash data, the volume data, the speed data, the classification data. What does that tell us in terms of the data? Then we do an analysis. We analyze that data. And how do we do analysis? We look at the intersections. We look at the capacity of the intersections. How do we do that? We use computer models to allow us to evaluate the capacity of the intersections. How do we do that? We have Connecticut DOT roadway, correct. We have standards that we follow for doing analysis for capacity. And that's what we do. We use a manual that gives the methodology. So you're hearing me say three things here tonight in terms of the intersections. Volume to capacity. What's the volume of the intersection? What's the capacity? So if you're over one, it's a problem. Levels of service, A to F, like in grade school. A being the best, F being the worst. What is that? That's basically an indication of the operating conditions of your intersection, okay? The intersection themselves. And then Qs, we hate those, the backups. All right, what's causing that? Congestion usually, stop vehicles. We have Qs. So at the intersection level, we look at those things, those three measures. So this table, as you can see on the screen here, as well as over here, there's your A's. We have A's to F here in this quarter. All right, we have A's to F in the quarter. And we looked at three peak hours, the morning peak hour, the midday peak hour, and the afternoon peak hour. So you see there, shaded in pink, I guess, or brown or orange here, you see, ellipsis E, we don't know F, so ellipsis E. So where's our worst intersection? We know it's Lawton, right? 177 Lovey Street. That's our worst intersection, okay? And that's where we're seeing midday and the afternoon, or even peak hour, level service A. So it's not the worst F, but it's getting there. Okay, but some approaches are actually at F. This is another table. This is Lawton intersection. This is that intersection. It's the worst one. See a lot of red there. These are all the movements. Okay, your eastbound, your westbound, your lefts, your throughs. So you see a lot of red there. And you see red in the left column, VC, volume capacity ratio. You've got a couple of movements there that are over capacity. You've got level service, red there, and you've got Q95, what is that? It's not a radio station. That's our cues. That's our design cue, okay? We're seeing it happening out here, and you've seen it as well. So we have several movements at that intersection, depending on your peak hour, where we're seeing, like southbound. Southbound's full lefts in the midday. It's got E's in the afternoon. That's our problem intersection. The other ones aren't so bad. Dial's got some issues. We know that, all right? We know that. But operationally, not terrible as compared to the adjacent intersection of Lawton. I think here's my hand up to Dan, right? How are we doing time-wise? All right, 10 minutes? All right, Dan, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Daniel Ansitz. I'm the Senior Transportation Planner with VHB. So I'm gonna talk about safety of bicycle and pedestrian and transit, and then I'm gonna hand it off to Bridget to talk about public involvement. So, whoops, wrong direction. Okay, so when we look at safety, we look at what's called the Connecticut Crash Data Repository. So hosted out of UConn, they take all the crash reports that happen all around the state and they tabulate them, they put them onto a map, they code them into where they are geographically. And so we can take this data and we can use it to look at what crashes are we seeing reported out here and look at the safety data and analyze that for the existing conditions part of this project. So what we're seeing here is we took the data from that repository between January 2018 and July 2023 and found there's 456 crashes that were happening here. About two-fifths of these happening at the key intersections that Joe was just talking about along Route 44. 20% of these about angle. A lot of them, almost 50% of them, are rear-end crashes. We also look at, when we look at the crashes, we're going to just look at how many, but also is there these injury crashes? Are people getting hurt when these crashes actually happen? That's an important factor of it. And about 17% of these crashes are injury crashes. We get about a fifth about at the key intersections we talked about. Many of them are angles, almost 50%, and about a third of them are rear-end related. There's one fatality that we see reported here that was a pedestrian that was, I'll talk about in just a minute. So this map that we're looking at, you can see here or on the screen, it's showing the density of crashes and where are those crashes really happening. And a lot of them, as we were just talking about, Lovely Street and Lawton Road and Route 44, that's where a lot of those crashes are happening. There's 70 of them. You can see the red blob in the middle to show that that was a density, but also at Route 44 and Dowd Avenue, there's about 50 crashes that we see happening there in that period. And there's a lot of issues with sort of left turns out of there or left turns into there and trying to get, you know, through the traffic that's crossing on Route 44. And so back to the injury severity, we look at different, where are not just all the crashes happening, but where are those really severe injuries happening? And this sort of shifts things where there's not as much injury severity happening at Lawton and Lovely Street, but there we found that there's a lot of those injuries are happening at Dowd Avenue and 44. And somewhat surprisingly, also at Canton Springs Road and Dowd Avenue, there's, you know, we saw from our field work in the morning, there's a big queues of people trying to get off of Dowd Avenue, get up on 44. So there's a lot of opportunities for, you know, conflicts to happen there that's probably leading to a lot of those crashes and injuries. And then this is hard to see, but we just have two pedestrian crashes that we have reported here. One of them was a fatality that happened about here was where the dot is. So it's a little bit west of Dowd Avenue. At a location where, you know, there's no crossing. So, and that happened during this period. But there were no bicycle crashes that we found during this period as part of our review. So going on to looking at our observations of how the pedestrian and bicycle system works. So we looked at, we went there, we observed, we mapped different pedestrian facilities and bike accommodations in the area. You know, there's not a whole lot of pedestrian activity or bike activity happening on Route 44. Sort of understandably, there's not you know, great conditions for people walking and biking out there on Dowd Avenue. One of the good things is that there's some flashing beacons that help you cross Dowd Avenue closer to Route 44. We call them rapid flashing beacons. So you can press a button and it'll flash and it'll help, you know, alert a driver that you can cross the street. So that's at a couple of the crosswalks there. To really assist with crossing there. You know, in the Canton Village shops, it's kind of hard to actually walk through there if you wanted to. That was one of the other highlights of our observations. And some of the sidewalks that you have in between the village shops, which is sort of the western part of our area, as you go to the east, the pedestrian conditions are not great. Some of the sidewalks aren't in very good condition. And then one of the major things here is that we do have the Farmington River Trail that runs through the runs right through our corridor, and there's an extension that's planned by the town to put to move that into or extend that into the shops at Farmington Valley. A little hard to see. There's sidewalks that are along a lot of the corridor on the west side in particular and in the middle, but as you go to the east towards Simsbury and Avon, there's not as much. It's you know, you have to walk in the shoulder if you're walking around there. Let's see. And for crosswalks, it's a little hard to see again. But there are crosswalks in various places. You know, you have to go a long distance sometimes to get to a crosswalk on Route 44, but understandably, there's a whole lot of traffic. You really need a protected crossing in order to be able to cross that major highway. Okay. So one of in terms of bicycle accommodations, again, the Farmington River Trail is really the major piece of it that goes through here, but there's also some interesting information that came out of the Connecticut DOT Active Transportation Plan that they did a few years ago, where they looked at all the whole state and said, where are places where we could use, where there could be better bicycle accommodations on state routes in particular. And there's a section of, you can kind of see up here, where the Farmington River Trail goes from a side path sort of out into the road that's part of their on-road bicycle planning network. But another piece of what they did is they looked at their state routes and they said, how suitable are these for biking conditions? And so this part here is red and orange, which is really the least suitable, sort of, again, understandable, heavy amount of traffic, high speed traffic, not very good for biking conditions if you're trying to bike anywhere along the corridor. So again, these are looking at different things that we've seen in our review of existing conditions. And the Farmington River Trail, do you know, it goes for about 16 miles from the southern part of the Farmington Canal Heritage Trail up to the top part, and it passes adjacent and directly through the area. It's really a key spine of bike and pedestrian access, and it's you know, important piece of the towns. They're working on an extension, designing extension into the shops at Farmington Valley to make it easier for people to get into there, especially if they're using the trail. So looking at the screen might be a little bit better, but this is the general route of the of the extension going through the shops. And the idea is that it would continue off to the east towards Simsbury and Avon. Part of the project, part of this border study, includes looking at a place where the trail might cross, which would could require a signal or some other type of infrastructure that would allow people to cross safely. And that's part of what we review and look at as part of the recommendations of the plan. And looking at public transportation, there are a few express bus routes that run through here. There's three, the 901, the 926, and the 927. There's also a combined route that runs during midday. It's fairly limited in terms of the amount of service. It only runs on weekdays. There's 9 round trips that it runs through the day. And there's some bus stop pairs, about 3 pairs that run through here, but all of the stop over at the Canton Park and Ride that's over farther west outside of the corridor here. There are also a couple of school bus routes that run through here that we have mapped that take children to the elementary school, intermediate school, and the high school. Again, it's the route runs, you know, on Route 44 straight through the corridor. It's again an express service. It gets about 2,000 to 2,500 riders each month. So right before the pandemic, the 901, which is the Avon Canton Express, got about 100 more riders per day than it did before, and it really, of course, dropped off when a lot of the public transportation had to cease service or really limit service during the pandemic, and it hasn't really gotten quite back up to that point yet. The 926 and the 927 are getting a little bit higher than they were before, but again, it's a limited express service, really takes you to Hartford and back. I'm going to talk very quickly for a minute about land use, since that's a really key part of what we're looking at here as well, is understanding how the development affects the transportation network and vice versa. It's primarily commercial development that's along the part of 44 that we are looking at. There's a lot of new construction, as Joe mentioned, and a lot of it's interesting former residential properties turned over to commercial properties. And so there's a variety of different sort of urban form that's going on out there. And the residential is mainly off to the side, except on Dowd Avenue. And again, in talking with the town, there's a lot of additional development that is being considered or being proposed in the next, you know, next several years. And a real desire that when this development comes in, that it is compact and it is walkable. They're trying to really push the needle in making it a corridor and a place where people can go and they can get around by different means, different transportation modes, as opposed to just by car. But the purple properties here are really the commercial properties, looking at just the land use, and these sort of reddish ones are industrial, so you can see how it really just fronts the corridor from one side to the other, and the yellowish here is the residential. And zoning, as part of trying to make it more walkable when it comes to these new developments, there are a number of design village districts that the town has put in place to try to, again, make sure that when these developments come in, they include sidewalks, they include an urban form that makes it more walkable. And so you've got different ones. The dark blue is the East Gateway Village Design Village District, and then this one is Camden Village Design Village District. So there are different, again, ways working with the land use and developments to try to make it, again, a more walkable, compact place. So I'm going to give it over here to Bridget, who's going to talk about public outreach we've done.
All right, thanks. Which way?
So this goes to the right, or this goes forward, and this is your laser pointer.
All right. Hi, everyone. I'm Bridget Moriarty, and thanks for having us here today. Thanks. Great turnout. There's pizza back there if you haven't seen it. And don't forget to sign up if you're going to ask a question, because we have a limited amount of time. So I'm fortunate enough I get to do the public outreach, which has been fun. I got to go to we had a pop-up event. Dan and I went and promoted to the Townsville Farmers Market. Can you not hear me?
I can't hear you. Can you
speak yeah. Them? I don't. I'll just speak louder. Look this way. Okay, I'll read that screen. Thank you. All right. So we had our first sort of lead event was a pop-up at Collinsville Farmers Market, was back in October, and it was just basically a promotion of the project. We wanted to get the word out that this was going on. We interacted with a lot of people, and we started the public survey. The public survey is online. It will be online until the December 15th. So that's about a week. So if you haven't done it, please go to the CROG website. It's CROG, and if you write CROG Route 44, it will pop up. There's a link, and you can fill it out. It only takes about 5-10 minutes at the most. So, and so far, we've had a lot of people respond. We've had 838 responses, and let's see. So we have the general survey, but I also was fortunate enough to go out and interview some of the major stakeholders that we identified with the town and with CROG, and I was able to go in person or through Zoom and just interview these major stakeholders in the town. And I have some of the results. So, and by the way, all this public information meeting will be put into the final report, because the final report isn't just the data, it's also influenced by the public, because this is your town. And I just live in Burlington, so this corridor is very familiar to me. All right, so stakeholder interviews, basically what we found from that was that the stakeholders said that whether it was their, that most of their employers or their employees or their clients came to their shops or their places of work by automobile, which was no surprise. The concerns with the corridor, the stakeholders that we interviewed had varying concerns. Some of them seemed in conflict with each other. But in general, everybody had a concern with speeding on US 44. You can't hear me?
No, you really don't do better, but you can.
There are microphones in the room.
Oh, there are?
They're wired up.
Oh, okay.
The wireless
one. Yeah, I just don't have a really projecting place. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so that's better. Thank you. I'm sorry about that. All right, so I'm to sit here. So basically, the major concerns, which you're probably not surprised about, was speeding, safety, signal coordination. A lot of people had issues with saying the signals are not coordinated on US 44, which just causes delays and long queuing. Access management, there's too many driveways, so people cutting in and out. Another issue is illumination, so that's a big issue, obviously, at night, lighting. Sidewalk connectivity on US 44, wayfinding, that's just signage that says, hey, welcome to Canton, this is the way to the trail. So people said they needed, the stakeholders said wayfinding is lacking. Also, some of their concerns were a future connection to the Farmington River Rail Trail and where is it going to lead. Also, left turn accommodations along the US 44 were noted as being insufficient. Congestion, despite the ADT, apparently the perception is that isn't increasing. So, and there's concern obviously for bicyclists and walkers. There's a lot of concerns that there is not a safe corridor. And also that the construction, because I guess there's currently utility work on US 44 that has been an issue. So any future concerns of construction, how it will impact businesses and mobility. So, all right. So now this is a survey. This is the one that's online. And so far, like I said, we've had 838 respondents to date. Just to let you know, the majority of people that filled it out are from Canton, because that is always a concern. But we have neighboring towns as well. Avon, Simsbury, there's New Hartford, there's a few from Torrington, Burlington. All right, so what did we find from the survey? So far, we only have a week left, I don't think it will change much, is the level of safety and comfort of walking is very poor. 43% say it's poor or very poor. Okay, so that's almost 50%. Also, the majority of people had concerns that high speeds, congestion, unsafe driver behavior, and long signal wait times. And honestly, the speeding and the unsafe driver behavior is not limited to Canton. It is a nationwide issue. And you can read any of the reports that is people not, not following the red lights or and driving aggressively. Some of the improvements that people wanted were better bicycle and pedestrian facilities, safer drivers and traffic calming, and improvements for non-motorized users would be extend the trail, improve crossings, improve bike facilities, slow down traffic, and improve pedestrian facilities. All right, so that was my last one. All right, so now what we're gonna do is we're gonna go to the question and answer, because we know that that's why you're here. This is our work, but this is obviously why we're here, to hear from you. So if you haven't signed up and you want to ask a question, please do. Come to the podium, or actually, do you want them to speak into the microphone? If you speak loudly, louder than me, you don't need the microphone. I'm a mom, I can't believe I don't speak loud, and I talk too, but apparently I don't have a loud voice, but thank God for these tools. If you have, there are gonna be questions, if you're listening to this online, please enter your question into the chat and we'll be read out. We'll alternate between online and in person. And after that, we're gonna break out into the map sections. We have the two different, the east and west corridors that are split up over there. And you can write on the map, and that would be a really good interactive activity that we can do. And there's also comment forms in the back that you can submit written comments. All right?
So we have the sign-up sheet. We have two people signed up for the sign-up sheet, so I'm guessing it'll be more than that. But we have Barbara and then Larry.
Oh, I signed up on the wrong sheet then.
You did? You don't want to speak?
No, I do want to speak. There's a lot of sign-up sheets back there.
I went back to sign up.
Oh. So,
we have two, Jen.
Barbara's not going to speak.
No, Barbara's
I'm
here.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You can sign up after Lisa.
Sign me up.
So you want me to take from wherever you want?
Barbara. Oh, we're here because of the microphone.
Do you want me to take that around and have it?
Yeah, actually,
yeah. I have a clipboard.
Those are all the people that want to talk.
These are all the speakers here?
I don't know what I signed up for. Yeah, that was
that's a sign-up sheet. Okay. Right. Sorry.
That's okay. Barbara Shoring, 42 Maple Ave.
Barbara!
I'm sorry.
Do you
want to
use the microphone?
Okay.
Anyone that didn't sign up, I'll pass this around.
I'm going to do this. Reach up there. I don't know if they reach. That's probably as far as you go. Okay. You don't want to stay in here? Come on.
Sure. About 4 years ago, I lived in Bradenton, Florida for about a year. And while I was familiarizing myself with the towns around there, we'll have to say that Bradenton is way ahead of the curve when it comes to traffic calming and safety. One of the things that they did, and I pulled this off of Google Maps from an overhead view, was on their main road through town, which is very similar to our Route 44, they created a middle lane that was strictly for turning either direction. Because we know that when you're going to make a left turn into a business, you're in the fast lane and you're backing up traffic behind you. When you're trying to get out of a business, it's there one way and then it's not clear the other way. And so what happens is you go as fast as you can and then you've got an accident happening. So while this sounds like an accident waiting to happen when you've got cars coming from both directions making turns, it works. And you've created this island where you're no longer in the fast lane making a left turn. You pull over into there and then you make your safe left turn when it's safe. When you come out, you can pull halfway across and wait and then make your turn when it goes that way. So here's a couple pictures. If anybody wants those for reference. The other thing they did is that if I'm sure you all noticed the number of vehicles that cut corners. And you wonder sometime if you're going to have your left fender in place. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we don't hear what you're saying.
Yeah. If you're going to have your left.
Let's move this.
You're doing great.
Just turn it around. Just turn it around. Does that work?
That
try
works
that.
For me. Does it work for the audience?
Yeah, that's better.
Is that better?
So the other thing that they did when for their left turn lanes is whether it was the left turn lane or your fast lane went for anybody that would be turning left, where there was either a traffic signal or a 3 or 4 way stop, was the left turn or the turning lane was set back. So that especially for those large semis that are making turns and they can't and they're trying to negotiate that corner, having that left turn lane set back is an opportunity to make it safely and quicker. Thank you.
Thank you. You want to go to online?
Let's do a couple more. Let's do a couple more first. How much, you want to take that here? Why don't you go over?
I don't know where the sign up sheet is.
Barb, everyone first.
All right, so, thank you, Barbara. And next we have, I think it's Larry. Come on up, Larry.
All right, still better. That works.
Thank you.
I'm going to read because I'm not very free speaking. But I want to thank Pramod. He and I have been talking since September probably. And I'm also kind of excited to see that we have CROG and we have somebody from the state and we have some of our elected officials, I think. It would be nice to see somebody from zoning. But with that said, and I don't want to make this a controversial thing. I've lived here 30 years, and sometimes I get over anxious about some of the ideas and going on in town. But my name's Larry Minicello. I live alongside State Road 565. Specifically, I live at 35 Maple Avenue in Collinsville. Having read the Route 44 Corridor Study Project kickoff presentation, I look forward to reading the final proposal, which will include the details supporting how the decisions will reach or will be reached. Earlier this week, a fellow citizen expressed concern over the value of attending this evening's presentation. The person said, "It looks like the presentation decisions have already been made." And I think she was referring to the designs of all the roundabouts. I believe Joe, you've already responded to that early on. And I went on to say someone from CROG needs to respond to that comment, and I think you did. Nothing's set in stone whatsoever, and I think that's appreciated. The authors of the kick, and mind you, I've talked to Pramod, but I've been in a vacuum somewhat. The authors of the presentation go to great lengths in their designs to protect motorists, and many of whom drive dangerously. However, the presentation ignores those who have worked their entire lives and own and care for their affordable housing that line Dowd Avenue. Nowhere to be found in the presentation is an evaluation of the negative impacts of speed, noise, vibration, road rage, volume of traffic brought upon those who live along the road. These factors need to be addressed prior to the actual road work. Additionally, State Road 565, Dowd Avenue, is inadequate to handle the weight loads of both fully loaded triaxials and tractor trailer trucks. The width of travel lanes, lack of any shoulders, and poor sight lines is a recipe for the death of a cyclist. You've almost seen it happen. It's a known fact that most of the traffic on Dowd Avenue, a collector road assigned by the state DOT, and miscategorized in Canton's town plan of development as an arterial, is being relegated to a dangerous and inferior arterial road, all for the convenience of non-local motorists and truckers whose goal is to get from one place to another as fast as possible. It appears that there is concerted effort, and once again, I'm going overboard, I'm presenting. The state DOT, CROG, Canton Planning and Zoning are surreptitiously changing the classification of State Road 565 from that of a collector road to an arterial without being fully transparent to those who live along Dowd Avenue. The study states the town provided, among other documents, the town plan of conservation and development. VHB, who was hired by CROG, needs to know and consider that this plan's life is expired, and now we are in the midst of a new plan of conservation and development. Because of this fact, and the fact that Canton's form-based zoning regulation is coming under more and more criticism by Canton citizens, one should conclude that the vision of the plan is outdated One area of citizen concern is over-concentration of multi-story apartments in a part of the community until itself already meets the goals of affordability and diversity. It's time to be bold, to view this study area not as an island, but rather as a piece of the puzzle known as the road system. The roundabout should not be shoehorned at the intersection of Dowd Avenue and 44. The roundabout should be designed and built at the intersection of 179 and 202, where statistics will reveal it's the most dangerous intersection in Canton, where there is ample land mass to construct a logical roundabout that could connect, that can connect roads designed to handle arterial grades of volumes and the types of traffic. Is asking for through traffic motorists to travel on a road designed to handle such volume and types of traffic unreasonable? Those who live along State Road 565 say no. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Larry. And just keeping in mind, we have 15 minutes and we have five more people that are signed up as well as people online, and we do have a hard stop at 7:30. So, Jan.
So I might have to cut you off if you talk.
Okay, yep, tonight. I'm not gonna talk long, I just have two questions. Thanks everybody that is here. Thanks for everyone listening in. But I heard reference to the last corridor study that was done. Is there a way to see what those goals of that study are and what was revealed through that, what was recommended and what was implemented? That would be something I would like to see, because as I have done on my survey, I continue to, and I know it's been shared that, you know, it will require another study to go further west to the intersection of 179 and Route 44, but I would like to know how that study is, you know, I'd like to have clarity as to what point a decision is made for a corridor study and how the goals and the project areas are determined. Because again, I will say, we are short-sighted in not addressing the comprehensive, you know, movement out to 179 and 44.
Thanks, Jan.
Yep. About the brand new study.
Let's go through the
call. Okay. All right. All right. Thank you, Jan. Do you want to go to an online one?
Yeah. There was a question regarding from online. Question is, there was data collection on vehicle traffic. Was there any data collection on bicycle and pedestrian traffic? Yes. All data we collected was all modes. So cars, trucks, buses, bicycles, pedestrians. That's one question. And then there's a couple open questions regarding turn lanes. The center turn lane. So real quick, what was talked about was the center turn lane that's being asked about. That may be something we look at as part of the future. Right. Is there a need for a center turn lane? And what they call is, they call it a two-way left turn lane. If you drive North Main Street in West Hartford, we just did a road diet there last 2 years ago. Very highly successful, has a center turn lane there. Is that appropriate here? We don't know yet. We don't yet. But this is just existing conditions. That's what we'll look at. That's some of the comments we'll get. Okay. I think that's and a breakdown of modes available. Yes, that's a previous question. So yes, those are the three questions online.
All right, and just one of the things in the public involvement I would say was that Krog, one of their, he went to 41 businesses, so he also along 44 on top of the ones that I was able to do. So, all right, so Lisa Coggins.
Crowd. Well, thank you, Neil, for getting this study done, and thank you for everybody for participating. I just have a couple of questions. Like Jan said about the previous study, you said that there was recommendations that were not implemented, and do we know why, what was the obstacle to not having all of the recommendations implemented? Was it just funding? Are we going to have questions answered, or? Should I ask all my questions first? It's okay. Um, Another question I had was, to understand that the Route 44 is a national highway, and does that mean it has limitations and solutions? Meaning, I've heard that because it's a commerce route, that safe crossings, protected crossings, such as a bridge, are not an option. Can you confirm if that is accurate information? If a potential bridge crossing somewhere along the route is an option or not? And I also wanted to say that in the safety part of the presentation was that the town is trying to make the area more walkable. And so is there going to be a focus to have the bus stops protected to increase ridership with sidewalk accessibility? Because I'm sure, as you're aware, the bus stops, not all of them are connected to a sidewalk. Those are all my questions. Thank you.
Well, I'll respond quickly. The previous study, which was done, you know, about 20 years ago, I couldn't tell you right now exactly which recommendations were implemented, but some of them that along Route 44 were, and some conditions probably changed along the way, so that was not feasible anymore. But we can document that in this report and then see if those will be repeated or those will be revised for better recommendations this time. About the bus stops, that we'll look into it because that's part of the study also. The one thing that we wanted to find out is how many people actually commute to work using transit. That's why we went to 41 businesses. Couldn't find a single person who said they use transit. For, except
my
for, yes, exactly. And you are, I was going to say, yeah, except that, you, and then Jan. So the next thing we're thinking of doing is stop at the bus stop and actually, you know, when people on board of four, we can ask them if they actually use transit for commuting to the work. So
but they might not be commuting into Canton, but they might are commuting out of Canton.
Both ways, yes. Yeah, exactly. Well, for the express service, as you know, the bus directly goes to the rest station, right? So that's a little bit different than the local service, where you would see people coming from out of the town, getting to the bus stop, and then going to the business where they have to walk, or you know, during the snow, or there's no sidewalk,
There's
no trails. So we'll do our efforts. We'll continue that and see if we can find about the bus stop and the shelter. That remains to be part of the recommendations. And we'll discuss that when time comes. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I missed that. Would you repeat what you just said into the microphone? Thank you.
Everything?
I said, the microphone is so helpful.
Sorry.
Thank you.
I said everything good, okay. So, yes, okay.
The last part, okay.
Oh, about the bus shelter. So that's part of the investigation that the team is doing right now, where it lacks shelter, where we need to provide that, and where there is bus stop but no shelter and no connection to businesses using trail, sidewalk, whatever that would be, to facilitate multimodal connection to the bus stop and the businesses. That'll be looked into and that'll be part of the recommendation. Thank you.
Next.
How about the bridge question that Lisa had asked about, like with the US 44 being a commercial highway?
So we're trying to avoid back and forth, but it's a legitimate question to ask. So it's a national highway system highway, it's a principal arterial. So the federal highways involved and federal government, but what I can't tell you what they say or what they will allow right now. But I can tell you this: the US DOT is oversees the federal highway. US DOT has a safe systems approach to all projects now. National Roadway Safety Strategy. You can Google that. Google that. Look at that, and I'll tell you it's the whole philosophy has changed in transportation. From the highest levels down, and Connecticut DOT is embracing that. In fact, the commissioner is embracing that. So all bets are off, if you will. Like before, you can't do it. I'm not saying you can. I'm just saying that we're in a different environment now. We're in an environment now that appears to be more conducive to that. And real quick, the first raised crosswalk on a state highway was built last year in New Haven. First ever. That tells you things are changing. and I can do a tape. They also did demonstration projects on state highways. So things are changing, all right? Things are changing. So I don't want to say a bridge is possible. We're going to look at all options based on comments. But my point here is that the whole system strategy, the whole philosophy is changing for the better, I think.
Thank you. All right, after Lisa.
It's Sarah.
Sarah.
I scrolled it quickly.
It's all right.
It's all right.
I had to put my glasses on.
No, it's your fault. All right, Sarah Faulkner, 25 Dyer Avenue. I want to thank you guys for coming tonight. It's good to hear you being as open and listening to us, and thank you to Neil for organizing. I have a concern about protecting the character of Canton, because as we have more and more traffic, as we have more and more development, and I like hearing you acknowledging there's a shift. What we're seeing is a shift from our Planning and Zoning Commission. They are actively encouraging multifamily development. So we currently, you're saying this is really a, how do you phrase it? You said it was a primarily commercial development area. While that is true, right next to 44, that may change very, very soon. We have behind CVS probably 130 new units being proposed. We have 33 new houses going in right now off Lawton, right by the corner of Washburn. There's a proposal for more apartments down closer to the Avon line. We may see an awful lot of new apartments coming in, and that does not count the ones that are down off Dowd Avenue. So we'll see a tremendous amount of more traffic. So I think we need to think about this as we're looking at it. I love the small town character of Canton. I love the trees along the highway. The last time we did a corridor study, we made sure we had trees, and they planted sometimes not the best species, but they did plant trees. I think we want to retain that. Our POCD is very clear about keeping the character of the town being either, you know, rural or semi-rural. So we need trees. If we widen that road anymore and we cut down even more, it's going to look more and more like the Berlin Turnpike. And I, for one, would like you to try to find a way not to have that happen. For that reason, I'm not really a big fan of bridges going over the road. On the other hand, I personally tried to cross Route 44 recently because my car was being serviced at Mitchell's. I was trying to get to the shops. It took me 10 minutes to get across. I was using the lights, and it was dangerous. People run those, and they do turn in red. So if we're going to have that many people, especially with 130 possible new apartments behind CVS, those people are going to need to cross that road. So we need to figure out a way to do that. So if you could think about that. The bus shelters, I'm glad you're talking about that because I'd like you to consider it. I drive 44 to and from work every day. And then, of course, do shopping and stuff. So I'm on 44. I see people coming out from Hartford to go to jobs, and they cannot get across the road. They are being dropped by the buses in front of Mitchell's, you know, at different places. And I see them really risking their lives. And that fatality we had, I believe, was a worker trying to cross 44. So it's something to build into your questioning as you're looking at it. When I looked at your map of where the traffic problems are, the two that I have seen and that you had is high traffic. One is that coming off of Washburn and Lawton, getting onto 44, they're getting stacked up. More and more and more people are going to be going onto Washburn. I know that the neighborhood there and on Lawton is very concerned about that. So anything you can do to try to think about how to reduce that neighborhood traffic that's trying to get off Route 44 and come and bypass Route 44, that would be really helpful. And the other is Dunkin' Donuts. People are turning, and I saw it on your map. That's where the accidents are happening. I see them all the time. People are trying. They're heading westbound, trying to take a left into Dunkin'. If you do a middle turn lane, that might eliminate that problem. I don't know if we have the width for that, but something has to be done. I feel like putting Jersey barriers up there, personally, just to keep people from turning, because it is so dangerous. And lastly, this is for our DOT friend here, the lights. They're not synchronized. And they're not blinking. And I go to work at an ungodly hour in the morning. I'm on Route 44 before 6 a.m. They used to be blinking, and I tried to make sure I got there before 6. They're not blinking anymore. People are running the lights because they can't get through the intersections, and nobody's there. I sit there, I time it, minute and a half, sitting stupidly, polluting the air, waiting to turn when there's nobody there. So I'd like you to look hard at how we do lights here so we can keep the traffic moving. And that's an environmental question also, because the longer a car is sitting there, the more exhaust it's putting out, the worse it is for our planet and for us. So I'd like you to look at that. I think I hit them all. Roundabouts. Oh, I like roundabouts. And my family's from New Hampshire.
they work. They take space. I don't know if you can do it here, but they do keep people moving. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Great comments. Teresa.
Can I just say, there are tunnels also.
Yeah.
Tunnel down Avon and Union, and they're under the bridge.
That's right. They go the trail that's under the bridge, yeah.
Hi, Teresa Barger, Apon Road. I just want to basically agree with what Sarah said, as usual. Thank you, Neil, for organizing this. I have a question and a comment. Question is, can you put calming things like medians or something with plants, something to slow down traffic on Route 44? We know that the wider the road is, the faster people go. So I don't want you to make these roads any wider, Dowd or Route 44. And so that was my question. And I guess I wanted to make a comment that I also am, I have family in Massachusetts, and I have dealt with traffic circles, and they seem pretty good. And my personal experience, I live on Pond Road, so I do a lot of walking from my neighborhood to Canton Village, to CVS, and use the rail trail. And I don't have any problem crossing Route 44 when I use the traffic signal. It's really a slow signal. It takes forever. And I hate that at Route 44 and 177, the light is such a slow light. But I do like, sometimes we'll walk down Dowd Avenue, and yes, the sidewalk is kind of a mess, but I think it would be bad if someone were in a wheelchair and we're trying to use that for public access, but if you're on foot, it's not the end of the world. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Teresa. And one more, it's Tina. Maybe not. Tina as well.
I'm loud, so I'm just going to speak.
Yeah. All right.
You come up here by here?
There's people online.
This is online.
All right. Where do you want me?
Anywhere near there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I live on Dowd Avenue, Canton Hollow Condos. I thought I'd see more familiar faces here, but I don't. We love it. We love the bike trail. We see a lot of animals through there. I don't care what they are, but we love them. And as far as, I wonder, when they widened Route 44 over the mountain, I said, oh, they're going to put speed bumps in. What happened to speed bumps? What happened? Are they against the law? Because it would, instead of building and moving and digging up the yards, put a speed bump in Dowd Avenue where it'll slow them down. And my question is, I guess we do need these tractor trailers coming through on 44 to go wherever they go, and it's down 44. But maybe not a speed bump on 44, but these side roads. What's wrong with a speed bump? If you're a local, you'll know where to slow down. If you're not, you're going to lose a tire or something.
So it's a great question. And we call them speed humps. We consider speed bumps in the shopping centers a little small, and so speed, we call them speed humps. So I will tell you right now that I can tell you I don't see speed humps in 44. Obviously, speed. Dowd, that could be something you looked at. That we're hearing concerns about Dowd. We have crash data at Dowd. That is something we'll look at. Is it possible? I will tell you that your prevailing speed limit where you put speed humps. You can't put a speed hump on a road that's seeing 40 miles an hour. Things like that. So, but we'll look at all of that. That'll all be looked at as what we're hearing tonight, as we get into the future conditions. What are the issues? What are the comments from the public? And we'll look at that. You mentioned real quick another question on medians with plantings. The 2000 plan had medians with plantings. Not all was built. So in front of the shops, there's some medians there with plantings. That's from the 2000 plan. Is that something for the future? Possibly. Don't know. But there's a lot of good feedback. Some conflicting, but that's part of what we do here: listen to everyone talk. Are we doing what?
Just will you? Someone online asked if the slides will be available.
Yes, the slides will be available. They will be available on the website. Is there, well, so we're 7 o'clock. Do we want to go to the maps? Do we want to keep asking questions?
I have one quick question.
Come on up.
Come on up.
Sorry.
So there was mentioned that, sorry, Philip Everson, 30 New Road. You all had mentioned that there was some surveying or something that had happened with businesses going out and to talk to them, and that nobody had, commuted in. I was wondering if there was going to be like some type of gap analysis between what people are currently doing and what they'd like to do, because I would like to take those transit options. I would like to do those things, but saying what the current situation is and then saying that that should be more of it is seeing what everybody wants and seeing what the gap is would maybe help us make decisions together.
Perfect.
Thank you.
No, go on.
So the survey does ask for recommendations. So please, and one of them was like beautification, so more trees, as someone else said. Come on.
So my name is Jennifer Diederich, and I did run as a dark horse for Board of Ed. And I'd like to thank you all for the opportunity to do that. Canton's a great town. I've talked with Kevin Winkos, and he has asked me to be on planning and zoning. So he said, grow a thick skin, we could use you there. So with that, I have a few things that I would like to say. And that is, first of all, having had a business in Farmington for 12 years, I recall well the Route 4, Route 10 debacle where they were supposedly spending 3 years and multi-millions of dollars to make it so much better. And it turned out that it was the light coordination that has made it a non-solution. And actually, the town of Farmington came up with a better light coordination solution, and the state overran it, and that's why the traffic backs up the hill on Route 4 still, even though it could be much, much better. So light coordination is really important on Route 4. With regard to bridges over the Route 44, for instance, for the rails to trails, well, Route 6 by Tunxus Community College, there is a bridge for the rails to trails over there, and that's newly built, and it's wonderful. I'd like to ride there all the time. So please put that in your mind and in your considerations. About roundabouts, I grew up near Vernon Circle. It was a big roundabout, and it was great, and it's gone. I don't really think that it's necessarily a much better place because of it, but there certainly is a lot more business there now, and maybe that's a good thing. The roundabouts in Windsor on the way to the airport are tiny. I don't know how trucks can get around them. Certainly they are an obstacle for plows to try to plow them in the winter time, and that's a consideration. My family was originally from Old Greenwich, Connecticut, and they did as much as they could to protect the character of the town. They did end up building some apartment buildings in Greenwich. They tried to avoid it in Old Greenwich, and certainly Stamford was the offshoot of that, where there's a lot of apartments built. But I will tell you, in Old Greenwich, what ended up happening, and zoning let it happen, is that for every cute little yard that there was with a little old house, they zoned it so they could put a house in the backyard. So there's houses on top of houses on top of houses, and I don't think that it helps the character of the town all that much. And the roads have not been widened to accommodate that increase in population there. So in some ways, apartment buildings that are situated around areas where the roads can take the traffic from the additional population that's coming in, because the population's going to grow. By 2050, it's supposed to be 400 million in this country, which is another 70 million, you know, people from where we are now. So people are going to come, and you've got to be ready for that. That's part of the future. For middle turn lanes, I've seen them work in many different towns, and that would probably be a good consideration for Canton. I lived in Boston for a while, and I believe it's Route 2 that goes into Boston. And that was like a little Route 44 at one time with no room to expand, so it's still two lanes in either direction, with just Jersey barriers down the middle and almost no place to turn. Please do not let Route 44 become like that. It's awful. And I don't know if anybody's been on the speed bumps on Case Road, but I don't know that they were really a solution there. And one thing about tunnels, the little tunnel in Unionville is great, but long tunnels at night that are dark are perhaps not good for safety. Okay, thank you.
There's just, they just want the website. All right, so we're gonna go to the map. So if you want to, both, there's two sets of maps. The west and the east are connected, so whether you can write on the maps, there's dots that, are there stickers there?
Kind of in the back, yes.
Yeah, so there's stickers. So each sticker corresponds to an issue. So if you have a pedestrian issue or a bike issue or a transit issue or a car issue, you can put it right on the intersection or the part of the corridor that concerns you, or you can write right on the map.
Are both maps the same?
Both maps are the same.
Thank you.
Yeah, I thought that.
Well, yeah.